Thank you and Dad.
Just before you leave, I want you guys to see something.
I noticed that.
We happen to be Twinkies tonight.
Yeah, we have good taste.
Yeah, and I told Tom, I said, Tom, you're not in the program this evening. And he said, nobody phoned me. All right.
If you have good taste, you just know to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you have real good taste, you know that this is what you need to do. Oh, don't leave, Tom. Come back. What a wonderful day we've had. I think all of us here tonight that know Christ as our Savior and know what blessing it is, because a lot of times when you have an auditorium full, a sanctuary full, and it's a special day, so many times you don't see anybody receive Christ. Now, I know the seed would be sown, but it's always good to see people come down to these altars and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And all the people said, Amen. Turn with me tonight to the book of John, and we'll read from chapter 16 and then Matthew chapter 18, and I'll give these to you again as we go. First of all, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, and I think this is an equally wonderful scripture for us to read. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then finally, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, one for Brother Chick. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let everything be done decently and in order. Father, bless us tonight as we study together. May we rightly divide the word of truth, and then, Lord, that it might find lodging in our hearts, so that we would be that instrument that would fit your hand, and that we might do those things which would bring glory and honor to your Son's name. May Satan be defeated, may Christ be exalted, and in his name we pray, Amen. We've been speaking on Sunday night a series of messages for the church, and what the church needs to do to prepare themselves not only to serve in the city of Enid and to carry the gospel of Christ, but also to enrich our lives as believers. You know, one thing about our Christian faith is that it's a perpetual growth period. You might have been saved 50 years or better, and yet, every day when we study God's Word, we find something fresh and new that strengthens our heart and helps us to be what God would have us to be. And so, we've talked about these things. Now you say, well, Pastor, I know that we're getting ready for the Memorial Supper, and we're preparing our hearts for getting ready, and indeed, that's what we're doing. But also, we need to remember that this should be an everyday occurrence in our lives. Now, the scriptures we read tonight have one thing in common, and that's what kind of atmosphere do we have when we come to worship the Lord. You know, so many times we don't really prepare ourselves. I've always taught, and I believe this, and I know people do what they want to do, and I understand that. But one of the things we try to always do as a layperson is on Saturday night, we try to get in early and get everything ready for Sunday morning so that when we came to the Lord's house, that we just wouldn't be completely worn out, that we would be ready to serve Him and do what He wants us to do. And so Mrs. Chick and I, we still do this on Friday, on Saturday evening. We get everything laid out and the things we're going to need for the next day to worship the Lord. You know, that creates a good atmosphere. And one of the things also that creates a good atmosphere in the house of the Lord is when we come into the house of the Lord. And I like what David said. I was glad when he said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I think when we come to church, I think we not look at it saying, "Well, I'm supposed to be in the Lord's house, and therefore I'll be in the Lord's house." But I think we ought to come with a positive attitude. It's a privilege to be in God's house. Yes, we ought to be rejoicing and saying, what a time of rejoicing that can be. You know, if we have brothers and sisters in Christ that have the same desire and the same love, it's very easy to see that fellowship. Now, one of the things that I heard today, and I don't always get to go back to the back, to shake hands with people that go out the back door. But so many of our visitors said this to this pastor, and I rejoice. They said, "This is a loving church." Or they say, "There's a warm atmosphere in your congregation, Brother Chick." And you know, that's what we want. We want it so that when people come to the house of the Lord, that they'll know that they've been present in the place where God has given us to worship. And so we worship Him not just with our minds, but with the warmth that proceeds out of our hearts. Now, there's not going to be very much warmth there if our hearts aren't in tune with Him. So tonight we want to begin our study with the thought of what kind of atmosphere do we have in our church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we say, "Well, the church belongs to Pastor Chick." No, 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 no. You see, Jesus died for the church and rose again for the church. Brother Chick never did do that. It's He that is our all in all. He's the one that we need to adore. He's the one that we need to exalt. He's the one that we ought to praise. He's the one that we ought to try to impress Him with our service to the Lord. Now, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I've been impressed by the Lord. And so since I'm a Christian, I want to let Him know that He's been a blessing to me, and I want Him to know that I love Him and appreciate Him for saving my soul. So each individual church member creates the temperament of any church. And the church is not this beautiful building God's given us to worship in, and we thank Him for that. But the church is you and I. You're the ones, and I'm the one, that sets the tempo, if you please, for the service to the King. I remember before I went into the ministry, I was in college, and we had a revival in our church in the college town I lived in. And the evangelist came to me before the services started, and he told me, he said, "Young man," and that's a long time ago because I'm past being a young man now. He said, "Young man, you're the music director." And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And he said, "I want you to understand that your responsibility is to have the music in place and in order. And isn't it wonderful that our music director does that and always has a good musical program?" Brother Jackson was telling me the other day, he said, "I've never attended a church that had so much talent." Well, Brother Jackson, they're just people that love the Lord. And they sing from their heart. And so he said, "Now, Brother Chick, it's your responsibility to get the ground plowed." You know, before a farmer can put the seed in the ground has to be opened, doesn't it? And then the seed goes in the ground, and then the Word of God is the seed, and then it's watered by the Holy Spirit of God, and then God gives the increase. And so we have to realize and understand that it's not one or two people that create the atmosphere in the house of the Lord. It's all of us. What is our church going to be like? When you get up in the morning and stand before the mirror and comb your hair, and I know you don't believe I do that, but I do. And when you shave your face, and when you wash your face and put your makeup on, or whatever it is that you do in front of the mirror, and some of you have to sneak up on the mirror so it won't crack. But the question you should ask every morning is, what kind of an atmosphere am I creating in our home church? What is it? Well, if we have a good attitude, we create the temperament of the church. And I prefer a warm and a spiritually sweet church in our midst. That's what I desire to see. I like for people, when they walk into the front doors of Bible Baptist Church, I want them to know that we appreciate them coming. I say this so many times when on Sunday morning to our visitors, you could have chosen anywhere in town to worship, but you chose to worship with us. And I want them to leave with a significant understanding that we not only love the Lord, but we love them. We want them to know that we're not something superficial. We want them to know that out of our hearts, we want to demonstrate that love that we have for them. And so we want that warm and sweet spirit. Now, we too, as members, will create the atmosphere in our place of worship. That's true. You know, we talk about atmosphere. I can remember back years ago when I was pastoring over in eastern Oklahoma, and our church there that God had given us to serve in had gone through some mighty struggles. And finally, God had given the victory, and we were beginning to see the cohesiveness of the people come together. And we saw the concern for the lost begin to grow. And it wasn't but just a few months afterwards that the church just almost exploded because of its testimony and because of its love for the lost and because of its members going out in the highways and byways and compelling people to come to the church. And so I remember one Sunday morning, not a special Sunday, but you know every Sunday is special. And we were preaching the Word of God, and we were getting towards the end of the message, and this man stood up, and tears were running down his cheeks. And he came down in that little sanctuary that we were worshiping in, and he said, "Pastor Chick, I surely don't want to bother you, but," he said, "I've got to get saved right now." He said, "I can't wait another minute." And I said, "That's fine with me. I can finish some other day. Most important thing is I want to see you saved." And he got gloriously saved. He said to me after services, he said, "Pastor, when I walked in this door, I could sense the very presence of God." And he said, "Then I could know the condition of my life without Christ." And he said, "And when you begin to preach to us and you begin to share to us with us the love that Christ has for the sinner," he said, "it just blessed my heart." And he said, "I could not walk out of this place without knowing Jesus as my Savior." My friends, that's the atmosphere we want at Bible Baptist Church. We want it so when a lost person comes in the door that they're felt at home, that we love them, that we're glad they're there, that we're not interested in their past, we're interested in their presence. Will they have Jesus Christ as their Savior? Because we want them to have the future that we have. And all the people said, that's what we want. So when most of the lost and the visiting Christians are in our services, we want them to feel the very presence of the Lord in their lives. Satan will be defeated and Christ will be honored if we can create that kind of a spirit. And so as a man was saved in Okmulgee, it can happen at Bible Baptist Church here in Enid. You say, well, Pastor, we rejoice. We have somebody receive Christ almost every Sunday. And that's true. But I don't want us to get so used to the idea that people are going to accept Christ when they come. I want us to be thankful that they're receiving Christ through the ministry that God's given our church. I want us to be thankful saying, well, praise the Lord, there's three more that don't have to go to hell. When somebody told me about how many were saved and some finished up after we were dismissed, and I heard that there were three saved, my heart rejoiced. On an Easter Sunday when the crowd is big and when there's a lot of thoughts and ideas going around in people's heads and they're thinking about what they're going to do after church and so on and so forth, that the Holy Spirit was still strong enough that three precious souls were born into the family of God. My friends, that's what it's all about. Now, the atmosphere of a great church. There's some scriptures in the Word of God I want us to read, plus the ones we've already read. I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to read with me or follow along as I read verses 1 through 5. Paul says to the church at Philippi, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And here's what he wants us to do. Having the same love. And then notice what he says next. Being of one accord and of one mind. Now here's the cohesiveness that we were talking about. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing or his own life. Notice what he says, but every man also on the things of others to show concern. The Bible said we're to pray one for another. We're to encourage one another. All right, and then notice what he says in the last verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Christ is our great example. Now, the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi, and by the way, Paul wasn't recommending the church at Philippi because that church was a dynamic church. And if you study church history, you'll find out that the Philippian church was one of the soul-winningest churches, and they had a great outreach for the Lord. And so when God laid on the heart for the Apostle Paul to write this epistle, he wasn't sending it to a bunch of carnal Christians. He was sending this message to those who already were in love with the Lord. And what he was doing was strengthening them and encouraging them to keep on keeping on. Don't give up. So many times people say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to reach my friends and my families for the Lord. I was talking to one of the ladies of the church tonight before services, and she said, I'm still rejoicing. She said, my whole family, which doesn't go to church, was here this morning. She said, my dad was here today. Listen to me. Never give up. Never give up. Have the atmosphere in your own heart that if you love them, they can't hate you. You know that? You said, well, now, wait a minute, Brother Chick. What about Judas? Well, Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. But if you love them and truly love them, they know it. When our children come and give their pastor a bear hug, There's no question in my mind, Brother Rod, that they love me. And brother, they'll tell you, I love Brother Chick. And one of our favorite saying is here at the church, and I'm trying to help everybody realize this, who loves you the most? And most of our little children will say, Jesus loves us the most. Now, are we trying to create an atmosphere? Yes, we are. We want them to understand and know that Jesus loves them. And I said, then who loves you the most next? And you know what they say? Brother Chick loves us most next. I want them to understand and know that their pastor is concerned about their spirituality. I want them to grow in the grace of God. I want them to have the atmosphere in their lives, because you see, many of them have been saved and are part of our church. And I want them to have the same attitude that our teenagers have, that our young couples have, and our seniors and our college kids. I want them to have the same attitude. I want them to have the same attitude as mothers and dads and grandpas and grandmas and great-grandpas and grandmas. I want them to have the same attitude, because we're here to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the adults, but the entire church. That's why we have a church, because He loved us and gave Himself for us. We must be, if you please, the mood makers. Now, if you come in on Sunday morning and you spend all Saturday night laying around or messing around, and I'm not trying to tell you how to lead your lives, but I'm hoping that you'll consider that, you know, to have a good atmosphere, there has to be a presentation in our life and practice getting ready to serve the Lord. You know, serving the Lord is not like a water faucet that you turn it on and off. It's preparation. It really is. And we need to prepare our hearts. You say, well, do you mean you don't want us to have any fellowship on Saturday night? Now, did I say that? Absolutely not. When you can have sweet Christian fellowship, that's good. But when it goes to 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday school teacher, you're not going to be your best for the Lord. When you spend half of the night out and just having a good time, and thank God for good times, there's nothing sweeter than Christian fellowship. But we need to get in a little early, and we need to start preparing ourselves and getting some good rest and take a time of prayer before you go to bed, and not wake up the next morning wondering, where have I been? And when you come into the church, you're so tired you can't hardly stand up. Now, wait a minute. Something's wrong there. The atmosphere is not what it's supposed to be. And so we need to prepare ourselves to worship the Lord. You know why David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord? Because his heart was prepared. Because if his heart wasn't prepared, he would have never mentioned it. Yeah. And so I want us to be careful that we do this, that we remember that each one of us individually are the ones who are going to set the mood for our worship services, for our service to the King. Always in the mood of serving our great God. That's what I want to do. I want to be my best for the Lord, don't you? I want to be what God would have me to be. And I know that sometimes I have to say to old T.A., now wait a minute, this is not going to help you to be prepared to do what I've asked you to do. And so I have to pull in my horns a little bit and say, okay, I'll do this another time. There's a lot of times on Saturday evening, people invite us and they say, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And my wife is so much of a help to me. She said, you know, we'd love to come, but Saturday night is the time that we prepare ourselves to worship the Lord. You say, well, you've got that more holier-than-thou attitude. Not at all. Not at all. After being saved from the age of 9 years old to 75 years, I ought to at least know something. And I want to know something that will please God, and I want to be what God would have me to be. And I love fellowship. If you don't believe that, just go to Taco Mile on Sunday nights. We fellowship and fill up with tacos, and I don't know what that thing is Brother Klassen eats, but it's got green stuff all over the top of it. We used to have a puppy that when he got sick would produce the same covering. But we have sweet fellowship. And I'm not against that. I'm for that. But we need to prepare. Now, notice something else. The life of the church will be determined by the kind of mood we set. If we want to be a vibrant, working, serving church, then individually we're going to have to do it. You know, the last scripture that we read tonight in our text was found over in the book of Corinthians, and it said, let everything be done decently in order. Now, I don't want us to become traditionist. You know, ritualism taking over. And we go through this certain program and so on and so forth. And, we don't want to be long-faced when we serve the Lord. The Christian faith is a joyous life, isn't it? But also when we come into the sanctuary, God's house, to worship, our minds and our hearts ought to become a little more serious. And we need to perform being serious and yet jovial. You know, you can shake hands with somebody and not be silly, but you can shake hands with somebody and tell your brother and sister in Christ, I love you in the Lord. And I don't like to do this, and every once in a while I find myself slipping into this to kind of clown just a little bit too much. Wait a minute, I'm not here to clown. I'm here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His sacred desk that He's trusted to my care. And so whether I'm sitting over here singing or riding around in my wheelchair shaking hands, I don't want to be goofy. I want to be jovial. I want to be happy. I don't want somebody to think I've been baptized in dill pickle juice. I sure don't want that to be. I want them to know that I have the sweet peace of Christ in my heart. But I don't want to be silly. How many understand what I'm saying? You can be loving and you can be joyous, but not silly. Now, here are the, and we're going to close with this tonight, but here are the recipes for doing what God would have us to do. First of all, our friendliness. This is not something that happens by accident. And you know, sometimes people act so friendly, and they shake your hand and give you a smile, and you walk away from them, and they don't like you, and they like to keep you in the seat of the britches, but they don't. Now, that's a false friendliness. I want us to have true friendliness. I want you, when you get together and when you fellowship and when you worship together, I want you to know that it's nothing superficial when you tell somebody, my dear friend, I love you in Christ. I want that to be real. Because that generates friendliness. I'm reminded of what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself, what? Friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And isn't it amazing that the writers of Proverbs said, if you're going to have friends, you've got to be friendly. Now, sometimes we look like Chief Sitting Bull. We sit there with our arms folded and we almost dare somebody to shake our hand. Don't you shake my hand. I don't want anybody to shake my hand. I'm an old stick in the mud. And every once in a while, I catch somebody that's been eating too many persimmons. And some of you don't even know what those are. But they give you pucker power. Beth eats them every day before she plays her flute. But they sit back there and they, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be friendly. And you know, when I go up and they have their arms folded almost in defiance, I go up there and I get them by the hand and I shake their hand and they look at me as if to say, please turn loose of my hand. And if I do this to you and I don't turn loose of your hand, you better get a smile on your face because I'm turning you loose until you get one. I'm not going to turn you loose until you get a friendly spirit about you. Then you say, well, you don't understand. I had a fight with my wife. I know you lost. But being a man enough to say, well, at least at God's house, I'm going to be all right. And she can't hit you while you're in God's house. Well, she might, but she shouldn't. All right, so we need to have that. We need to have that friendliness. We need to let them know. You say, well, you know, and I've been to churches like this, and you have too. If you don't have a high-priced suit and expensive tie and excellent shoes and, you know, and you're not somebody, we're only interested in VIPs. Ever been in one of those places? It's like going to a morgue. It really is. When I go on vacation, I like to go to a church that has that sweet, warm feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes I don't get that experience. And my wife and I always said this, well, we were friendly. We were up in one church one time, and we were shaking hands with everybody. And I said, you must be a visitor here. And they said, no, we're members. I said, oh, I'm the visitor here. Well, I'm glad you're in services today. And, you know, the pastor got up, and he said, you know, I think, church, we need to change things. Dr. Chick went around shaking everybody's hand, and we didn't even shake his. We can always do better. We can always do better things for Christ. You say, well, it takes energy and effort to do it. And sometimes it takes a wheelchair. And if it can be done out of a wheelchair, if you have two legs that are good landing gears, you ought not just come in and plop down. You ought to go around shaking hands and tell you, God bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord today. Friendly. Amber's brother came in, and I don't know what he thought when we met, but we love your sister. She's very special to us, her family. But I want you to know, we love your kinfolk, bud. We love them, and it's a pure love. And you know what we found out about the Suttons? They love back just the same way. Yeah. You say, but Brother Chick, that's natural. Oh, no. That's not natural. That comes because we desire to love the Lord and to express that love one to another. Secondly, our enthusiasm. You might want to write these scriptures down. I'm going to read them to you. First of all, Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what that tells me? David had it all together, didn't he? The next verse is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 14, chapter 3, verse 14. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does that tell us? That in that church at Philippi, that Paul said, I strive to be the best I can with the high calling that God's given us. And you say, well, I don't know whether I've had a high call. How many of you are saved here tonight? Oh, well, then you've had a call. You say, well, what do you mean I've had a call? God didn't call any of you just to sit around and be moaning and groaning and griping and growling. God saved you so that you could be a joy bell ringing in somebody's heart. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's what Paul said. I press towards that mark. And sometimes we don't feel all that spunky, if you please. But let's get over being concerned about ourselves. You know, sometimes I go around and I pat myself on the back and say, poor baby, poor baby. I'm an old rough street kid. I played football, and the rougher it got, the better I liked it, and that's why I'm a wreck today. I liked it. And somebody said the other day, well, you know, it's just unusual for somebody to say they love you. Well, there's not anything wrong with saying that I love you in the Lord. When we tell each other we love the Lord, we love them, we're not saying we love you physically. We're saying we love you spiritually. You got that? And if you, by the way, if you do it for any other reason, you're going to be in a doghouse. Somebody's going to block your knockoff. You said you didn't get that right. You just find out. It'll happen. Now, listen to this. This was written to the church at Colossae. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's talking to the saved. Set your affection on things where? Above. And not on the things of the earth. Why? It shouldn't make any difference to us if a guy comes in with a pair of striped overalls on. We ought to be glad to see him. Amen? And if a kid comes in and he looks like a little ragamuffin, brother, that ought to turn your heart on for the Lord. And you ought to love that little rascal. There's a good chance they don't get any loving at home. I'm about to tell you this. Some years ago, one of the ladies in our church was just very wealthy, and she was just pretty, well, a perfectionist. And she told me one Sunday after church, she said, Pastor, I don't understand. You have your nice suits on and your good clothes on. And those little ragamuffin kids come in off the bus and they hug you, and sometimes they wipe their little noses on your nice clothes, and oh, Pastor, I don't know how you do that. And I said, dear sister, I can get my suits cleaned. Amen? How often can I get a loving from a little old kid that doesn't have any loving? Because if they had loving at home, they wouldn't be in that condition. Well, I always tell our teachers, I said, I don't want one kid to go out of here without a bear hug. When our bus kids come in, I want them to be loved. I want to teach them that they are royalty as far as we're concerned. And I said, you know, those children need love. And I said, you know, you need to change your attitude. I watched her. The next Sunday morning, we were still in the old chapel area. She came to church a little bit early. And I thought to myself, this is unusual for her to be here this early. And she walked, Brother Rod, she walked towards the side door where the kids come in. And she had on this beautiful lady suit. And every hair was in place. And I thought, what in the world is she up to? And then I saw it. When those little kids came in, brother, she was grabbing them and hugging them. And her hair got messed up. And her beautiful clothes got messed up. And when she got through, I said to her, well, how'd you like it? She said, it's, Pastor, it's the sweetest Christian experience that I've ever had. Are we better than others? No. Do fine clothes make us better than others? No. At our very best, even though we've been blessed, amen? Our very best is the fact that we're just sinners saved by grace. And we want that to be shown to the world in which we live. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear,